All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back. This is the May 18th day of budget hearings, the afternoon session. We're going to start this afternoon with the Department of Finance. With that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Mr. Jim Beard, Chief Financial Officer, if you'll introduce your team, and then go start your presentation, please.
Thank you, sir. We're glad to be here today. Glad to be here today to present our budget request for this year. I'll start by introducing our leadership team. Of course, my name is Jim Beard, the Chief Financial Officer for the City of Atlanta. And to my immediate left is John Gaffney, the Deputy CFO. Yolanda Carr is our Budget Chief. Lee Hanna in charge of grants and grant services. To my right is Mabi Rajdev, the Controller. Then Felicia Daniels, the Interim Chief for the Revenue Department, and Paul Kwa, the Interim Chief for Treasury, Debt, and Investments. In the audience, I have Allison Knight, Risk Management, or Enterprise Risk Management, Jonathan Williams, Management Consulting Services, Alfonso Pinon, Financial Systems Services, Lorette Woods, Administrative Services. So I wanted to, since we don't have a monitor, so I wanted to start by talking about our mission. I'm not going to read the words on the page, but I wanted to say that our focus every day is by providing the right information to the right parties at the right time so they can make informed and intelligent decisions. So when we interact with council and with the administration, it's about providing solid information, information that can be used to make intelligent decisions that affect the lives of the citizens and the staff that work here at the city. One of my visions is to be seen, have the City of Atlanta Finance Department to be seen as a go-to resource for other finance departments throughout the country. We've been effective in that mission, in that part of our vision, in that we serve on many different boards. We give public presentations in the city and at national conferences. So we think we're successful with our national image. I think our reputation precedes us in Wall Street as well as Main Street. I've gone through the introduction of staff, so I wanted to talk about some of the other broad areas that the city works on and provide an overview of the department for the citizens that may be looking. So every year we do a lot of public work, things that we put out. So I wanted to point out some of the things that we put out every year. Our annual comprehensive financial report. For 30 years in a row, it's won an award. Our popular annual financial report, it's won an award 4 years in a row. We just started producing that particular document 4 years. Our annual budget book, we skipped a few years of producing it, but we started back 5 years in a row. 5 years ago, we've won 4 out of those 5 years. We also produce what's called an annual 5-year plan, several quarterly reviews to this body and for the city's administration, an annual debt book that outlines every bit of debt that's in the city, an investment report that outlines the investments that we make on behalf of the citizens of the city, an annual risk report that talks about our risk outcomes relating to traffic accidents, workers' comp, and other things of that sort, and annual reporting around grants and alike. I want to highlight some of the top initiatives of the year. I won't go through all of them in great detail, but around in the revenue department, we've worked a lot around payment collection, and how do we streamline our workforce to be more effective. In Treasury, as you know, we've worked on achieving AA+ or AA1 ratings across the entire portfolio, and to increase our investment income. Grant section has worked hard to deliver grants performance and results in $6 million of additional grants through the last fiscal year. Budget, for the first time last year, we put forth our first budget without utilizing fund balance, and once again, the Distinguished Budget Presentation Award for fiscal year 16. Administrative services, we've worked there around training. We trained nearly 600 participants and spent more than 2,000 hours in training over the last fiscal year. Management consulting has worked on consistently a lot of work around streetcar and resources for the streetcar, as well as support for the infrastructure bond and cost controls around that.
All right, Mr. Martin has a question.
I'm behind. I was behind, I think.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, he's on page 7.
Now it's caught up. Okay, sir. Around, I'm going to slide 8. We talk about enterprise risk management. As you know, we implemented DriveCam. It had some fits and starts, but it seems to be a successful endeavor in that we've decreased our non-APD traffic accidents by roughly 60%. In the controller's office, once again, completing our CAFR and PAFR for 15 successfully on time, actually a little ahead of time. And we've transitioned roughly 93% of the city's payroll to electronic payroll. The cost for doing a paper paycheck is roughly 5 times more than the cost of an electronic transfer. It was one of our goals. That goal resulted in roughly $125,000 in savings for the city. And then we've started down the path of a solution to our travel and travel advance situations, using a solution provided by American Express. Financial systems, upgrading our Oracle infrastructure, which is at the end of life, moving to Oracle 11.1, or 11i, I think it's called. And once again, financial systems, along with the controller, spent a lot of time in 16 around the travel portal to allow the council staff and city staff and others to book their travel, so plane tickets, hotels, and rental cars through a single porthole to get out of the discussions we had around travel advances. So, and you'll see that solution coming online hopefully before the end of the calendar year. So where do we plan on spending our time in 17? Slide 9. A few things come out for us. To increase our investment income, roughly $1 million is one of our objectives. To continue along the path of taking advantage of the low interest rates, we expect the low interest rates to continue throughout the rest of this fiscal year and probably into the next. So anytime we see an opportunity to refund the city's debt and have a PV savings of at least 3%, we'll bring that forward. We've done a lot of the larger refunding, so now you'll see refundings in the less than $50 million category. They take a lot of work, so as they say in finance, it's just as hard to do $50 million as it is to do $500 million, but we think the juice is worth the squeeze. It sets the city up on a solid trajectory, and those low interest rates help us tremendously freeing up capital for other uses. The grants department wants to see a 20% increase in grants, so that would translate to $12 million can be spent on a wide variety of initiatives that are important to the administration and council. And then to continue to look at ways to clean up the balance sheet, to eliminate trust funds and impact fee funds and get those deployed. When I say eliminate, deploy the capital that's sitting in those funds. One of my particular big focuses for this year will be around an R12 upgrade. I believe IT, AIM now, has talked about this migration from Oracle's current platform to R12. That is going to be a focus for finance and all of the people you see around you. A lot of our focus won't be around the bytes and bits of the software, but more the process improvement. So what's happened in the past when the city's done these, we've tried to take old processes and customize a system in order to handle these old processes, as opposed to do process renovation, process redesign, process reengineering to put best practices on a brand new platform. So you'll see us spend a lot of time around change management, process reengineering, process redesign. That's going to be important, imperative as we move from the old system to a new platform. So the nature of the work will have to change. Then budget training, we continue to try to streamline this process and make it better. We're going to continue to push along that. And then to get staff up to speed on Six Sigma and various other what we'll call best practice type training classes and that sort of thing. Now, overall, our budget request ask is an increase of $143,179, and it's broken down mainly in some gives and gets, and it results in roughly a nine-position FTE count. The positions, many of them were kind of brought on by audit findings around pension, audit findings around control and separating out control issues in our various accounting departments. So there's two in the Department of Controller's office. There's, where are the others? Help me out.
I think we've got various positions across the board, but I think, Jim, to your point, many of these were brought on as a result of sort of external recommendations. The other category I would say is probably just developing bench strength and succession planning in a couple of instances, but the additions are really across the departments.
There's the outline of the FTE count. So the question's been asked several times about open positions, so I wanted to be forthright and talk about that. In the management above ranks right now, there are nine open positions, ranging from a deputy CFO. As you know, in the budget, I'm authorized two. I've run with one for the last year or so, and then I switched one for another one, all the way down to a finance manager. All of the positions, with the exception of the deputy CFO slot, are currently in some level of recruiting, interviewing, or something of the sort. Below that manager grade, there are six open positions, ranging from accounting technicians to financial analyst senior, revenue collection supervisor. All of those are either in the final throes of hiring, i.e. hiring this week, interviewing, or currently recruiting. So that pretty much summarizes my budget request and my ask of council, and we stand open to answer any questions.
All right, I'm going to open it up for questions. If no one's going to jump in, I've got a couple of them. And colleagues, we're on page.
Our budget in the budget book starts at 209, yeah. and runs from there, sir.
Okay, so let's start with that. So I'm looking at 211, the general fund portion of your budget, and the question is about three line items. The personnel adjustments are the ones, the 63,000, that was the ones that you just described, correct? Okay. What about the one increase in due to health rate and personnel adjustments of 362? It seems like...
That's a good question. So as we move through the R12 process, my plan is to push against some of this change management. We think we're going to have to bring in some talent okay. that's in that area. How we bring that on, I may have to request to move it to a different budget line.
Okay.
But how we... I wanted to budget forward,
gotcha.
Thinking forward,
okay.
So that's where we put it.
So that's Oracle R12. All right, and then the next line, the purchase contract services, is that also associated with?
So that's associated with the change management
okay.
as well. So we knew this was coming. We actually thought it was going to come last year.
Right.
So we've been waiting on it. We can't get too far ahead of IT, but at the same time, we wanted to be ready for it. So we've included that in our budget.
Okay, and then in the materials that you presented today, I'm looking at page 9, when you're talking about kind of your FY17 levels of activity. I want to talk a little bit about the bond refunding
yes, sir.
Piece of it. I think I just read somewhere that the likelihood of the Fed's raising rates in June or July is now looking increasingly better.
Yes.
That it'll happen. But you said that you thought the interest rate environment would still be favorable for refundings as potentially as late into the middle of next year.
Late into the middle of next fiscal year, so the end of
17. Okay. Okay.
I mean the end of 16.
Okay, I got you. So you think we've got a six-month window now.
So I think you've got six plus the time to pass the budget to do it. What happens is, so a lot of deals that are maybe present value savings of 15% or so mm-hmm. may shrink to 10 or 12% or 9%.
Right.
We just have to make a decision if the true dollar number mm-hmm. is big enough for it to make sense.
Okay.
That's one of those things that we may put in a piece of legislation, we'll get authorization from this body, then we'll start down a path, and then we may tell you the juice really isn't worth the squeeze, sir.
Right.
We'll take that off the table and ask you to file that legislation. So that's the process we look at. We look at both present value savings as a percentage and as an absolute dollar figure.
Okay. I want to say y'all have done an outstanding job of looking and finding these opportunities. I think you've been very thoughtful, and you've been good about kind of getting the big ones that have the largest movement, and it does make sense to clean up and look at the smallest ones now. So I appreciate the work you've done on that. The grant awards piece of it, the $12 million is a great great aspirational goal. Any thoughts, maybe Mr. Hanna, you could tell me, any thoughts as to whether these funds, what proportion of these funds would be potentially displacing current proposed FY17 allocations or appropriations versus things that we would bring in, a dollar that we would bring in that we probably would not have spent had we not gotten that grant. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I do. Obviously, we've made a lot of traction with departments as a whole in adding additional revenue to their operations to support, to augment their operational fund. They, departments really have discretion as to how they're going to apply those funds. Our mission has been to go out and capture as much revenue in that arena as we can. Mm-hmm. And I think over the last 2 years, we've increased that play. And what I think is going to happen is I do think departments are going to come back in the budget process when they do increase their grant awards and reduce the expenses on the operational side.
Okay.
That's our hope. That's our plan. And we'll monitor that on the budget side as we move forward during the fiscal year.
I was saying, because all things being equal, I'd rather have a dollar that comes in that offsets a dollar that I thought I was going to have to spend versus I brought in a dollar, which means I have to spend the dollar, new dollar.
Right. The good thing about that is we're having conversation with the department heads now about that. Mm-hmm. So they are aware that's the goal, that's the objective, and they're really looking at their budgets to see how they can.
Good. Calculate. That's encouraging. The Oracle upgrade that you mentioned, you talked a lot, and I'm really glad to hear you talk about this, about the business process optimization. Can you talk me through kind of your timeline on this? Because I don't know which is the chicken or the egg, because to a certain degree you should improve your processes and then automate those. But then sometimes the upgrade itself forces the optimization of the process. So, and again, I don't know what the timeline is, how much time we've got to do the internal house cleaning before the implementation happens, and then do the rest of it after that.
So that's a great question. We've approached this as kind of a we're running down the track at the same time.
yeah.
From a process standpoint, we're trying to get out of the paper business. So a lot of our processes are still built around, believe it or not, paper.
Mm-hmm.
When I come into my office after lunch, there's generally one or two things that need to be signed. So the stages of this are to look at our business processes and figure out what requires a code change. So a lot of times when you ask people why things happen, they say the code's like that. Well,
mm-hmm.
the code was written at a time where computers didn't do the things they would do. So I'm getting around to your question. So the code becomes a crutch that the operational department, my operations department, kind of leans on to hold on to old processes.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already started the process of re-engaging a firm. If you recall, Deloitte a few years ago did a change management study. So we've started talking to Deloitte and some others to talk to them about business process improvements based on the old study.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the study was done in 2009 or 8, somewhere in there. So
okay.
We've kind of dusted all that off. So we're not starting from ground zero, but now it's around executing against that, because
right.
it didn't make any sense to execute around it and go from there. I am myopically focused on the customization, or the not having customization in this new process. We allowed people who were process experts that like to hold on to their old process the way it was to kind of run how the old Oracle implementation went. So when I hear the word customization, it automatically raises my hackles. Configuration, fine. Customization, not fine.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to make sure we do that, we're reviewing processes like right now to make sure that we stay lockstep with them. We've reviewed the statement of work along with DIT.
Mm-hmm.
So the long and short answer is
department formerly known as DIT.
Department formerly known as DIT. They have a little symbol and everything. we work in lockstep with them. Alfonso and his team, our management consulting team, myself, the deputy, and all the major operational groups are all we're myopically focused, because this is our chance to get this right, mm-hmm. right? And if we do it correctly, what happens is our workloads, the nature of the work that we do, changes from paper pushing to higher level work. That's always been my objective. So we're in lockstep to do this together.
And remind me again, what is the time frame we're looking at in terms of the actual R12 upgrade?
I believe that the process in earnest will begin for AIM in July.
Okay.
And I think I heard them say that the target go live date would be September of 2017.
Okay.
And we, as Jim said, would like to jump on this right away and kind of follow them in parallel.
Okay, so we basically have a 15-16 month window to do the scrubbing in advance of that, and then understanding we could continue scrubbing afterwards if necessary.
As long as we build the process correctly, we can implement right. them and change and work them through change management. What I don't want is old processes creeping into the system and the words customization
right.
to come out. And if we get to a place where the crutch becomes the code said, that's when you'll see me back talking to each council member to understand how did the code get to be that way and talk about code changes that may be required to move us forward.
Okay. We get one bite at this every
Correct.
10 years.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if we don't take advantage of it now, we're going to have to wait.
100% right.
All right. I wanted to talk about staffing a little
yes.
bit as well. I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned the open positions. I'm not as concerned about that, but retention. That's the one thing I want
Fair
to
enough.
Chat with you about. We have lost a couple of people that have moved on to some greater opportunities over the last 12, 24 months, and it's quite frankly because of the job y'all are doing and
Right.
the skills there. How are you continuing to feel pressures, and do you feel like this budget adequately addresses those pressures, financial or otherwise, to be able to keep the team that you've got?
So this is strictly from my chair and my chair alone. Others can speak freely about what they're seeing in their downline. One of my big challenges and goals is to keep the city with enough star players and enough bench strength that if something happens, the city can move forward regardless. I do think there's some upward pressure on wage rates, and
mm-hmm.
I've said this openly, but the city as a whole needs to figure out how to address that. I think you'll see it in particularly all of the professional and paraprofessional positions. I'm sure that that's the same across multiple departments. How we get to that place, I think, is going to require some hard decisions on what we don't spend on to put money toward compensation and compensation
mm-hmm.
structures for the city. That being said, I think we've done a good job of trying to manage around it. I don't think the turnover from my level has been fair and reasonable. The people who've left have left for good opportunities.
Sure.
You know, do I wish they would have stayed? Yes, but bringing up that chair has led to other opportunities for people like Ms. Carr and others to kind of move up. And quite frankly, they've all stepped up to the plate. I put some people in interim positions because I want to do my due diligence and have the best and brightest come sit at this table with me, and I'll keep doing that. That's on me to keep this table full of the right people. And then I let them kind of manage down the line. But
okay.
I think to a man, the long and short of it is, are there pressures? Is the market getting tighter? It would be disingenuous for me to say otherwise. I think financial talent is in demand right now.
Mm.
So does it keep me awake at night? Yeah. Does it keep me awake that a John Gaffney may walk away? Sure. But we got to figure out how to make him happy and others happy so they'll stay. Right?
Yeah, so two observations on that. I mean, one is you can address those pressures by broad actions that impact a lot of people, or you can go at it surgically because you know you've got a key person and a key function, or just a key function, period, that you want to make sure we're able to recruit and attract the best talent possible. But we up here kind of have to rely on department heads and leaders and commissioners to provide us with that information, because y'all know better than we do what that surgical tactical approach looks like. So, you know, I know I harp a lot about staffing, I harp a lot about vacancies, but it's because I want to make sure we're applying the resources in the way that we're supposed to and should. Ms. Adrian talks a lot about span of control because, you know, we might be able to create resources by making adjustments in our org structure and our kind of levels of management. So I'd like to ask that question to the departments I know are feeling financial pressure, so because I want to offer that opportunity as well.
I'm not opposed to making those what you would call surgical requests to make sure that the team stays together, that we build bench strength. And I generally would work through HR commissioner and the administration to make sure those kind of fall in line. The last thing I want is for at the end of the day, at the end of the administration, for there to be a total new team who doesn't know
right.
where anything is or how to get through this. So, I want to make sure we have bench strength, and that's you've heard me say that many years.
Okay. And one last thing, and it's just a little thing that I'd like to bring up every time this year. I really would love to see the city get away from charging convenience fees for paying bills electronically.
So overall, that's on my list of things. Okay. I got to be honest, that's a second-tier item.
I understand.
But I think if the objective is to make it easier for people to pay, if I charge you a surcharge to do it, then even philosophically, there is a group of people who just won't do it, even if the convenience fee is a dollar,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think you will see us and the various platforms that we apply get away from that model. So I agree with you.
Good. Okay, because you were saying about trying to move as far away from paper as possible, but
right.
Our internal processes, but that also applies to our external processes.
I want to get away from paper. I want to make it so that people can pay the city and transact their business online without ever having to come into this building, maybe on the rare occasion to come visit a council person or something of the sort, but it should be easy to transact business with the city, and part of that is to make the payment platform fair and equitable, whether you send me a check or go online and do it or whatever the methodology is.
All right, I've kind of monopolized the bandwidth here. Mr. Shook, then Mr. Martin, then Ms. Norwood. Ms. Norwood. Mr. Martin, then Ms. Norwood. Go ahead, Ms. Martin.
Have you worked out getting the vendors paid?
I can't hear you, sir.
Have you worked out getting the vendors paid?
So I think you'll find that our AP times are in line with our contract terms.
Accounts payable.
But I will tell you, I was going to tell you, the bulk of the problem, and I'm not going to say 100%, but I will say a solid 95% of the time, invoices get stuck before they hit finance's desk. And where the breakdown is, and I push back on this notion that it's Mavi's team. So where the breakdown is a vendor where it says clearly this is the address for accounts payable and these are the things you have to do, the vendor will work with a particular department and send them the invoice. The invoice sits in the department for 1 week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. Then the vendor on the other side, it becomes a critical issue for him because he's got his own payables. Then you get a call, then it shows up at our desk, and we're forced to process these things in 2 days or in a day. If there was a way that 100% of the invoices came in through a specific portal 100% of the time, then I think you find that your angst and the phone calls you get decrease. I would say there are very, very few invoices when they come to us with all the documentation that aren't paid within 7 days. Very few. The other thing is we like to see more of our vendors use ACH transfer so that I don't have to write them a check, that I can basically deposit the money directly in their account. Once again, that saves me check processing time and it gets them their money faster. So these are some small modifications we would like to see in the code. For example, the contract requirements don't require 100% or mandate that the preferred method of payment be ACH transfer. So if that were there, if there was a specific point that they knew that send your invoice with all the proper documentation at this point, get your sign-offs to say that the merchandise has been delivered, we pay. We don't sit on invoices. We don't have any cash flow issues to where we need to sit on invoices for vendors. It just isn't the norm. If it's the exception, it's generally a piece of documentation that's missing.
Okay. Ms. Norwood?
Yes. Mr. Beard, a few months ago I asked about the alcohol sales for Compound because I had heard that they had not been paid, and we never got a it was supposed to come back to public safety, but I know we've been busy, so I wondered if you could have someone update me now on that, as well as, you know, how we are collecting alcohol sales in general, because it wasn't a – it's are there any other accounts that are that have had issues, and what is our current state of operations for collecting that?
So your initial question was specifically about Compound. I'll let Felicia answer the question in detail, but I will say we have been in communication with Compound through their legal team, and there is some movement there. We are going out and looking at all of the, let's call it, nightclubs, drink-by-the-glass organizations. The challenge for the city is our inspectors and those the people that work in that department generally work a 9-to-5 job, but the people on the other side of the equation are generally – they don't start till 8, 9 o'clock, and they run into the evening. So we've had to modify some of our teams to go out to knock on doors to make sure that we're getting compliance in that area. But Ms. Daniels would give you some more color on exactly where we are with Compound at this point.
All right, thank you.
Mike.
Good
afternoon.
Hi.
As Mr. Beard mentioned, we have been in constant contact with Compound's legal team. We have received all of the gross sales that we need to compute a bill for them, and we have done so. We have also engaged our external vendor to ensure that all of the revenues that we are due are remitted to the city timely.
And that's across all
that's
alcohol,
across all
licenses.
Across all. We have done a lot of work scrubbing that entire database of tax by the drink customers to identify if there are any others that fall into this specific category. We have done a lot of work there. We have not found any as that have been as delinquent as the Compound. We have found some that are 1 month or 2 months delinquent, but not to the extent that Compound was. We're working diligently with them every day to ensure that every penny is collected by the as soon as possible.
Good, because it wasn't about as much about a specific organization as it was about the processes that may have inadvertently just slipped through the cracks.
So we have been working with Atlanta Police because their investigative team work after hours. So we deploy a list of businesses that they can go and site or visit to ensure that they are operating with all of the required licenses that they need to continue their operations.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Mr. Martin. Yes.
Some of the council trust fund balances, i.e. page 561, are incorrect.
Could you repeat the question? I couldn't hear you.
Some of the council trust fund balances, page 561, are incorrect.
Well, if there's an incorrect number, a number that you don't know the genesis of, if you will stay afterwards and we'll run it to ground for you. As far as we know, they're accurate, but we'll run any number to ground. We generally have all of the backup data that's required to do that. So we have no problem making sure the numbers are accurate.
Is that going to be with Gaffney or with Paul or with Modvi?
That's okay. Modvi's okay. Area. So if you want to make a note to follow up.
Okay.
I can definitely answer any questions you have. I had received a couple of questions and we took care of that.
But yep. We've got a list.
I'll be happy to answer. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Before we close, you made a comment earlier that I wanted to echo. You said, you know, your team is kind of everybody stepped up to the plate, and I did want to commend you on a pretty successful year so far in terms of, you know, bond refinancings or bond rating upgrades, and just the level of and the quality of the information that you provide us. I think this budget process has been a great example, starting with the very first presentation of the overview. I think you've received a lot of compliments, and Ms. Carr, I know you've been leading that effort, but it doesn't go unnoticed here. It makes our job a lot easier that we can get into the policy conversations and not worry so much about the underlying data, and we can just use that as a jumping off point. I think you've done a great job leading your team and holding your team together, and I raise the questions I raise because I want you to be able to give you the resources and the tools that you need, not only to keep a smooth operating team, but to continue providing us with the level of and the quality of information that you have. So
thank you.
I do thank you. Ms. Moore. Yeah, go ahead.
But I want to thank you for that comment. I want to say I know we get a lot of credit for the refinancing, but there's a lot of people who are in the trenches every day doing a lot of work, from the inspectors in the field to the accountants. So I want to piggyback on that and offer my thanks as the senior person in finance for all the people who do the grind work every day, and they don't get to come in this room. They're out in the field. They're sitting in a desk and all that. So I want all of them to know that I do appreciate their work and hard efforts to make sure and to make the city a better place to live, work, and play.
All right. Ms. Moore, you had a comment, question.
Yeah, one of goal that I've been working on for a while, as you may well know, is, well, I started off with council access to the financial information, particularly accounts payable, so that we can actually see what's being spent. And I applaud you all for the ABE, the Atlanta Budget Explorer, which is great. But, you know, if everything went exactly as it is in the budget, it would be different, and things change, and line items may be a culmination of how much it's going to cost for this service, but that doesn't necessarily match all the time. You don't know what expenses make up that number or how those expenses are. So I know that you, and as a matter of fact, I had asked the information, the AIM person, whoever, to aim for making sure that he researches it and is aware of what's going on in across the country, because this is interesting. Someone sent me an article yesterday, which I just had to laugh, and this is a side issue, where there was a school board in another city that a couple of members were asking for the same thing this member was asking for, which is to make sure that you had the type of level of access as an elected official to look at the books. And I guess I need to print that out, because maybe other people might find it interesting too. And the same comeback and arguments sounded, all I had to do was put Atlanta in there and put some people's names in it, the same argument came. But now I've moved from just the council member as an elected official having that type of access to, because Oracle, what little I've been able to try to maneuver, is not the best user-friendly type of tool to find out anything that you want to find out. I'm finding it not to be that great. So now we're moving to a new platform, and I'll ask Ms. Ruffin and the other to put on the list of questions, but I'm also bringing it to you. Whatever platform that we move to, it needs to be state-of-the-art, doesn't need to be archaic, and it needs to be able to transfer information to whatever platform or software or however we go about doing transparency. There's no reason for me that the city of Atlanta is rated right there next to Detroit as an F in transparency when you have cities like Chicago, San Francisco, New York, who have even larger operations than ours, that can find a way to put their expenses and our dispendable information online and in a timely fashion. So I'm just saying all of that to say that as you talk with AIM about any new platforms or whatever, that's a part of the conversation. because I'm going to be asking that whenever you all get to the point of getting this, because there should be no excuse that we're not able to transport this information into a platform that our citizens can access. So I'm just putting it out there as a something for you to remember as you all have those discussions.
Yes, ma'am. I was watching the AIM presentation, I believe it was yesterday, so I'm aware of that concern of yours.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Moore. Any other questions or comments? Yeah, Mr. Young.
I guess at some point or another, all of our offices require some interface with your department. We certainly bark loud enough when there's something wrong, but, you know, I just, on behalf of my staff, and I'm sure a lot of other staffs, I just really appreciate the level of partnership we have with you all on many different fronts. There's customer service is a real priority, has been, and with everyone in your department that we've interfaced with, that has been the case. And so there's no plaques or parades or anything, but there is appreciation and thanks for not just doing your job, but doing it exceptionally well. I just, for one, I'd just like to say thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. If there are no other questions or comments, we appreciate your service, and we'll continue our work. So thank you all. Colleagues, it's 1:42. Aviation will be on board at 2 p.m. And just as a reminder, we will follow with the personnel paper immediately following whenever that ends, so that if it ends earlier than 3:30, we'll, I'm sorry, 4:30, we will begin personnel at that time. Oh, okay. Hang on a second. I'm sorry. So procurement is at 2 o'clock. I stand corrected. Procurement is at 2, aviation at 3. Okay. Thank you.